Hello, Africa. This is Let's Talk, where we take a light-headed look at everyday issues you care about. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in Washington. Tonight, family planning.
I am buying you a bottle of Dom Perignon if you tell me one man who is ready to. One, not two.
They will allow the woman to go to a clinic to get some family plan stuff, but brother, mark it down. 20 years.
We have to start with here in the U.S.
Western world.
According to healthypeople.gov, family planning is one of the 10 great public health achievements of the 20th century. Also, it is defined as educational, comprehensive, medical, or social activities which enable individuals to determine freely the number and spacing of their children. But most options are available for women only. And why is that? Does it mean only women are responsible for pregnancies? Or what is going on? Well, we'll discuss this, of course, in our usual light-hearted manner. So please stay tuned. And it's now time to welcome to our show my colleagues from the Zimbabwe service. And the one and only Tatenda Gumbo. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
I am great, Tatenda. How are you?
I'm good.
All right. It's good to have you back.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the one and only Mike Hovey.
Thank you so much for the invite, brother. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mike, anytime. In this edition of Let's Talk, we will be discussing family planning. Now, a review of programming from the National Institutes of Health in the USA shows that men and boys are not particularly well served by family planning programs because most programs operate from the perspective that women are contraceptive users and that men should support their partners. So, why is that? I spoke to Nema Mosha and I wanted to know her take.
I don't want to sound like a feminist.
Okay.
But I've been a woman for so long that I need to be a feminist.
Really?
But I think that...
Why is that?
I think that women always find themselves in a position that is not power, that they're not able to be the ones to make the decision. So whatever decision is made for them is okay. You understand what I mean? So for the man, they're like, okay, so I'm the man. So you do it. If it's injurious, you're the one who gets injured. If there's any side effects, it's on you. Because the most common reason that I hear about men is that it's going to affect their performance. So it's going to affect their libido. Yeah. Well, don't you think that it would affect the woman too? Then why wouldn't she be able to look for something that is half-half, you know? But for the woman, it's so easy to be like, no, you know, because I'm the head of the family. I'm the one who's running this show. Therefore, you've got to do this, you know? Yeah, and I feel bad for taking it in a more feminist way, but I think it's just that we leave the decision-making, you know, even over our bodies, to people who are not even involved in our bodies. And that's just the way it is, you know? Especially in the African culture.
And you see that I was looking at some of the records here and statistics with the National Institutes of Health in the USA. They also say that men and boys are not particularly well served by family planning programs. If you tell a man in Tanzania to do vasectomy, for example, do you think they will be very good and happy to do it?
No. And actually, you know, that is such an important thing to talk about.
Right.
Because, you know, going back, I think it may be, and this might be even contradicting myself, giving women empowerment over their body, you know, giving them the decision of what should happen to their body. How should I keep myself safe? How should I protect myself from unwanted pregnancies, you know?
Right.
Because I dare say that if everything was kept for the man, then it would be him deciding for you what would happen to your body, you know?
Mm.
But then if you're giving me this wide range, you're giving me, it's a pill, it's a whatever, but I am able to make that, you know, to make that decision. And most of the time, even if you're forcing me to have a pregnancy or whatever, I could have a completely discreet way of making sure that I have control over my body that you're not able to take care of. Because let's face it, the person who is faced with all these ramifications, when something should happen, mostly if we're not talking about diseases, but if we're talking about unwanted pregnancies, it's the woman that's faced with that, you know?
Right.
And she's the one that has to carry a baby for 9 months, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And we can generally well say for men, you know, they do have some pills that are on trial. I heard that the other day.
Oh, yeah?
They do have these vasectomies.
Mm.
Yes, yes. I heard about some contraceptive pills for men,
okay.
Of which I hardly think that they're going to use anyway. I think they're just like, I think it's almost a joke, you know?
Why?
Because they really worry about this libido thing, you know? Like, it's just, people are so worried about that. But
so going forward, you think, is this going to be, there will be some kind of change? Because some men, I think, out there, they really looking forward to be able to do some vasectomy. And you know what? They
want to change. I am buying you a bottle of Dom Perignon if you tell me one man who is ready to. Yes, one, not two. I'm sending you a case of wine if you tell me one man who is ready, who has come out and told you, you know what, Sunday? I am ready to take this bullet by the heart. No. Men are very ready to have the woman be the one who faces these ramifications.
Thank you, Naima Mosha. This is Let's Talk, and we are discussing family planning. And now, back to the studio. Ladies first, as well as do, Mike. Is that right?
That is correct, brother. That is correct.
Power, they say, all the power.
Definitely.
Tell me, Tatenda, is this some sort of hashtag ladies power, power to you, or ladies responsible? Oh, what do we see here by this trend that we have so many options when it comes to family planning? Or are you telling me that the notion that family planning is women's business is outdated?
Well, I mean, I guess you have to figure out which angle you're looking at the whole topic, because, you know, the idea that, you know, men are supporting their women's right to choose is very good, of course, because there have been times in history where men didn't support their women's right to choose. But I also think that it's been a situation where the society has decided, and the medical world has decided that because women are the ones who get pregnant, that in having multiple choices when it comes to contraception will make it easier for you to be able to choose what you'd like. But I think that in that conversation, men should also be part of that, and that men should also be required to take measures to ward against, you know, a pregnancy, any sexual diseases, things like that. And it really shouldn't be just on women
It should just be women. Thank you. Well, you heard that, my brother Mike. What is this all about? We're always supporting, but is this only the role? There are not many options for men to do this.
Yeah, I agree with her that from a medical perspective and from a cultural perspective, women have always been the birth givers. Men as quote unquote the providers. I guess for us, our role has usually been the protector and the supporter.
Oh yeah.
And so, of course, in a modern society, you find a lot of women are like, it's my body, it's my right to do whatever I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find that when it comes to a lot of relationships, a lot of guys tend to play more of the supportive role, whereby when a woman gets pregnant, it's more of, especially in situations whereby it's not planned, it's one of those, a guy will go to the female and be like, oh, so what are we going to do now? Are we keeping it? Is it, you know? And so usually you'll find when it comes to preventative measures, it's usually comes down to female of, are we using protection? Are we having this kid or not?
So the women here are the decision makers, according
True.
To you.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
Why you don't agree with that?
I mean, I think it goes back to the context of what we're talking about. Because when it comes to two people being in a sexual interaction or a sexual moment, right. I think sometimes we're raised to believe that the man should have the contraceptive. In a sense, what I mean is the condom, uh-huh. right? So if I am not on birth control, if I don't have a ring or, you know, whatever, then I am assuming that, or I'm taught that the man is supposed to bring that to the table. Now, if a man doesn't have it, then your decision now becomes, do I do it or do I not do it? Because they don't have that protection. But I was raised around women who basically said, I'm going to take my health and my safety into my own hands, so I will have condoms. Now I don't. Women don't wear condoms, but we have female condoms.
Right now.
I mean, in the sense of a man wearing a condom, and you telling a man that if we're going to interact sexually in this moment, you have to put this on. And I brought it. Yes, it came out of my purse. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of perceptions where men will say, "Well, why does she have condoms? She must walk around having sex all the time."
They'll make decisions
exactly.
On your
so now it's a question
think
of
who you want. You're put telling, names on you because
yes.
of that.
And you're telling me that I'm able to make a decision when it comes to taking birth control or having a ring placed or whatever it might be. But if I say to you, here's a condom, I want you to participate in keeping us safe and keeping us from having a child, men will start thinking of other things other than, I want us to be safe and I want to keep from having a child just because it came from me. So again, it's a question of, what are we talking about when we talk about, you know, having the control or having the power when it comes to contraceptives and being safe and
To pick on what Tatenda's saying.
Yeah, before you do that, just hold it right there and you will pick it up right soon. Mm-hmm. Family planning is the topic tonight. So many interesting views and so many differences. For those of you just joining us, this is Let's Talk, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
What's up, Africa? I'm Jackson Bungani in Washington.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Listen, let's be upfront.
There's a lot to talk about.
We need to discuss what's going on in your communities, issues that affect you.
Are you involved?
Are you engaged in transforming your society?
Today, right now, this is your platform.
Let us know what you've been up to.
Check us out on Facebook. Drop us a line.
Upfront is a show where we look at issues that affect Africa's youth.
Giving you an opportunity to express yourself as you connect with other youth around the continent.
In this interconnected world, we share a destiny. So let us share our solutions to issues like unemployment,
education reform,
elections,
free speech,
and many others.
Nothing is off the table.
Nothing is off the table.
Absolutely nothing is off the table.
It's Upfront, Wednesdays at 1730 UTC, Saturday at 1900 UTC,
and Sunday at 1930 UTC,
right here on VOA Africa.
This is Let's Talk, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Sunday Shamari, in a Washington studio with Tatenda Gumbo and Mike Hove. Right now, discussing family planning. Okay, there's this one thing that people talk about, that maybe family planning is women's business. Other people say, no, this is very well outdated. No longer is the thing. We, just like Tatenda said, we got to put things on the table. We got to do this together. We got to make our decisions together. But keep in mind, there's also that when you say something, somebody's going to judge you just because you're a woman. So are we judging women? But there's sufficient evidence demonstrating men's desire for information and services is not taken into consideration for men to be given information about contraceptives. For instance, we're talking about vasectomy, because not only condom, but men can do vasectomy. But are really men ready for vasectomy? If you tell me, Mike, today, let's go and do it, and your woman tells you, Mike, this is a good option, can you do it?
And when you ask men in Africa, can they really do it? Are they ready for this? So let's start with you, Mike. Before you counter the question, answer this question, and we move on.
To be honest, for us as African men,
yes,
and no one nominated me to be the spokesperson of African
of
men,
African men.
So I'm not speaking on behalf of all African men.
Just for you, okay.
Not even for me. I'm just speaking from the traditional output and my experiences with the men that I know of.
Right.
From an African perspective, very, very few men are willing to have a vasectomy.
Yes.
Because for them, it's like, you are taking away my ability to have children.
Right.
And
it's like your manhood is taken away?
Essentially. Essentially, you are taking away what makes me a man, which is the ability to create a legacy, to create something that I can leave beyond my life.
Right.
And if I'm sure a lot of African men can vouch for this, and I don't mean that in a very negative manner, but a lot of African people, women included, see vasectomy as a very quote-unquote Western thing, because for us as Africa, or African men and women, the family is everything you can have. The bigger the family, the more you're seen as rich, or the more you're seen as more blessed. And
places,
so vasectomy for a lot of African men is a definite no-no. I can tell you that much.
Are you sure about that?
I would like to.
But if you're trying to help your woman, as you say, you put things together in the table to decide.
And I think that's what goes back to what Tatenda was saying, where it's about having a conversation.
Yes.
If you don't want to have kids, there are several different measures that can be used. And by all means, I'm not saying that vasectomy is a bad thing.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
Okay.
However, what I am saying is a lot of men see it as that, where it's like, fine, because I believe a lot of vasectomies are within not just an exclusive relationship, but within a marriage.
Right.
But even a lot of men will be like, what if 30 years down the line I want to have another kid? You know what I'm saying? It's a difficult thing to just be like,
so you cannot okay, I'll go back and reverse it.
While
for women, they can
once
go and reverse
done,
their
it's
stuff.
Done.
Right?
I think
so. That's the difference, maybe to tender, right?
No, vasectomies are irreversible.
No, you cannot.
Once you've gotten a vasectomy,
that's it.
I think you can have it reversed.
No,
I can guarantee you. Once you get a vasectomy,
that's it.
You are not having kids for the rest of your life.
So maybe, do you think if that is the case, maybe to tender, that makes sense for men not to be on the table, the same page with women when it comes to that, you think? Maybe especially for African men?
No, I think that the medical advancements just haven't done well in the sense of what the focus is, because I mean, if the two options are you using a condom or having a vasectomy, then we can say that, okay, medical technology needs to advance and people need to get out there and figure out different things.
Right.
Because it's the same argument that we have when it comes to increasing pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of things out there in the market for men that help enhance their pleasure or their ability to enjoy, to be able to be sexual.
Right.
But there are a lot of things out there in the market that do not help women, right? So again, it goes back to the idea that we create cradle of humanity. We have contraceptives, and now the question is, are you using it out of choice? Are you using it out of someone else deciding for you? So is there a man who's deciding that, okay, right now we don't want to have children, we're going to have contraceptives? Or is it a situation where you have them available to you, but you have someone who says to you, I want to have as many kids as possible, and I don't want you using that. Why are you using contraceptives? Whatever God gives us, we're going to have those children.
Okay, we'll see about that. So who has the information? What can we do? What is known out there reaching men for contraceptives? Do men like this? Will they change? Well, we'll find out.
And I spoke to Malam Hassan Jubia from Nigeria, and I wanted to know his take.
You know, a man can produce until like he's 1,000 years old.
I know.
And it's like taking away some gifted powers that is given to you. I mean, you look very empty when you cannot reproduce. That's, I think, from cultural perspective, that's what it is.
Okay.
And I think this is all over the world, even where you have Western civilizations like the U.S.,
right.
You know, male mastectomy is not that very common as it is in women. a woman can decide for medical reasons, for, of course, they cannot, for the protection of the, her body, because you cannot have, be having kids every, you know, year. You know, right. That would be very damaging to the system.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So there is culture involved, there's health involved, there's some culture, of course, economy, and there's pride when it comes to men. No,
oh, yeah, that's another thing. Empty.
Come on.
Oh, my God.
That's a no-go area. Once you start approaching men in Africa, tell them, hey, why don't you guys also try this? You have, like, 11 kids, right? That should be enough, right?
Right.
No, no, brother. No, no, no.
It doesn't matter how many kids you got.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's like some secret, some hidden powers that you're taking away.
That's what nobody you said. And there's some people feel like their manhood is taken away. Is that true, really?
Yes, that is true. I mean, just think about it, Sunday. What's a man that cannot have children? You know what I mean?
But the thing is, if you already have, like you said, if you already have 5, 6, 7, 10, so what more do you need? What do you need to prove, really?
Assurance. Purity, my brother.
Really?
You never know what's going to happen. In Africa, it's very common for people to be in a marriage for over 20 years and all of a sudden it's over, right?
Right.
Due to divorce or...
Or whatever reason.
Whatever reason, you know?
Mm.
So when you now... I mean, it's also cultural there for people to marry somebody younger.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whenever you do that, you know, that person may want to have kids.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why, hey, no way. Yeah.
So maybe do we see this coming the next... Maybe, as you said, okay... Culture changes and things change. Maybe the next 10, 15 years, maybe we'll see men coming out ready for vasectomy in Africa.
I'll tell you what they're ready for, brother. They'll continue to use the condoms, if that's what you want. They will allow the woman to go to a clinic to get some family plan stuff, but brother, mark it down. 20 years. Well, we have to start with here in the U.S.
I know.
Western world. Do we see that coming in 10 years, brother?
I don't know.
No. Believe me, brother.
Yeah.
Culture, traditions, they still reign in Africa.
I know that for sure.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Malam Hassan Jibia. This is Let's Talk, and we're discussing family planning. And back to the studio. Mike, since you're cultural, traditional man, you can tell me, do you see any changes coming from this end in our society, especially for women in rural Africa?
Wow, that's a difficult one, honestly speaking. I think it differs by societies. You find some societies, even in a rural context, are becoming a lot more progressive.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're starting to accept that, you know, for example, women have rights.
Mm-hmm.
Women are able to say yes and no. And you'll also have certain societies that, for example, men will be like, what? You want me to use a condom? Are you crazy? You know what I'm saying? And so it differs. It's very difficult. I don't think there's a black and white, straight, yes, no answer to a question like that, because, like I said, some societies, even in a rural context, are becoming a lot more progressive. They're accepting technology. They're accepting that, you know, things are beyond a traditional cultural context. They are now... They're now coming into this 21st century, if you want to refer to it as that, whereby, like Tatenda was saying, a lot of people are now getting educated on certain things and allowing women and men to have that conversation of how do we navigate around this issue? Are we preventing? Are we not? You know, it's become more of a conversation.
How about abstinence? Can you think men may decide to use it more?
I don't
Why
know.
Not?
It is possible. I mean, it is possible. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Yeah.
I just think it'll be a difficult thing to do.
for most men, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, it's part of their life as, you know, as they grow into...
Well, they're taught. I don't know if it's part of their life. I think that they're taught that you are sexually dominant and then that you're supposed to be with, you know...
Right.
But I think that it's not something that people should consider it,
right.
Both sides, men and women. There's nothing wrong with it. So,
but it's the difficult one. Very. Both,
no.
Very.
But anyway, you wanted to say something on this also, the tent.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure there'll be changes, because remember, again, even though they're rural areas, you know, our grandmothers are now of a certain age, our mothers are now of a certain age, and just having that idea where, you know, my mother passed on information to my grandmother, for example, that probably had her thinking like, wow, okay, like, okay, I guess, you know, it's okay to say no, or it's okay to, you know, decide what you want to do. So I think that the same way that, you know, people our age, younger people who might be living in the cities, will still, you know, have those interactions with people that are around them who might be in rural areas. So information is passed along. You know, there is better access. There are a lot of organizations, a lot of governments who are pushing this information out there. But I think that, again, the narrative should not be that there are a whole bunch of options for women, so men shouldn't have to really worry about it, or there's a whole bunch of options for women and men are not controlling women, because that still can happen. It still might happen, but it's a larger conversation as always. And I think that, you know, as women, young women decide what they want to do, the better the knowledge that they have, the better decisions that they can make, and in the end, we'll be in a better space.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very well said. Hold it right there. You're tuned to Let's Talk, a program of the Voice America's Africa Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours 30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. We'll be back. Welcome back. This is Let's Talk, a program of the Africa Service of the Voice of America. And thanks. That's it for our show tonight, where we lightheartedly explored family planning. A big thank you to my guests, Neema Moshi. And of course, I want to thank you guys here in the studio, all the way from the Zimbabwe service. Great thanks to you, Tatenda Gumbo. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And of course, Mike Hove. Thank you for coming again in the studio.
I appreciate it, brother. I look forward to being on the show again.
All right. Anytime, brother. You're welcome. Jackson Uvunganyi is our producer. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is letstalk@voanews.com. You can call us here at 202-205-9942. After the announcement, leave us a message. That's 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Thanks for tuning in. Join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Let's Talk. Our topic next week will be volunteering. Don't forget to tune in Tuesdays for another discussion program, Health Chat, hosted by Nomadu
and her guest physician discuss a health issue of interest to you. That's Health Chat Tuesdays at 17:30 UTC, right here on the Africa service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Sunday Shomari. See you next Monday. Ciao.